Let us pray. Sanctify us in your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. The Reformation, that great era of renewal in the church, was a fight over many matters of theology. Indulgences, the Pope's authority, worship of the saints, and the like. But at the heart of it all was a battle of the Word, and thus a battle against the devil, he who asked of our first parents, "Did God really say?" Thus that doubt has been in every age. And to that we say, "Yes, O evil one, God did really speak. He said, in the beginning, let there be light. He said, if you live in these words that I speak, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Freed from what? Freed from whom? Freed from the grasp of that liar and the father of all lies. "For the stronger man, Jesus Christ of Sabaoth, Lord, has broken into his home, overcome that devil, taken away his armor, and reclaims his own people for the heavenly Father. You are no longer the devil's slaves. You are God's sons forever. One little word can fall him, and it is the Word made flesh, who was in the beginning, who was with God, and who was God. He, that Word, is the life and light against the darkness of this world." And that battle of the Reformation for the truth against the devil and his lies is much the same battle going on today. Externally, the opponents and enemies might look different. No longer such fierce power-wielding papists sentencing Lutherans specifically to their death. Many of these, of course, so against the gospel that it would be a stretch to call them Christian. Now, the attacks in our country are more subtle, less physically fierce, but still just as dangerous. Of course, abroad, the battle for the faith looks even more externally like the Reformation battle. That is, Christians asked if they are Christians and sentenced even unto death by saying Jesus is Lord. But we here need not relax with our opponents, for we are always under assault, especially by the devil. Because the devil hates Jesus and those whom Jesus claims as his own, and the church, you, is always being threatened. Spiritually, even if it might not feel like it physically. The fiery darts of the devil are always being flung at the Lord's people, and those darts are deadly. And he aims his darts at your heart. But God hasn't, at this time, allowed Hamas or Hezbollah or the CCP right to your doorstep, asking you if you're a Christian, for you to have that opportunity to confess Jesus is Lord. For now, the devil's got other attacks up his sleeve to get you to doubt that Jesus is Lord. In our land, these lies and the father of lies come sneakily through people at times you even kind of like. Maybe faceless people you think you like on the internet. Friends, relatives even, who might say something like this: "I don't think that we should discuss and debate theology. I don't think we should speak about doctrine and dogma. We don't need to fuss about the details of truth. Isn't it more important that we just simply love each other?" And when you push back such a person, who might then say, "Well, are you pushing back on love? Come on. Are your religious beliefs really that important to get in the way of our relationship?" in this trap, the fear of a lesser relationship, of being even disliked, is the 21st century American danger. For the devil only minds so much if he hasn't pushed terrorists to our doorstep, but if he succeeds in allowing religion to be merely just one small aspect of our lives among many, he has an upper hand like none other. If Christianity is not the essential and fundamental identity, the very essence of what makes me, me, and you, you, then the one little word that can fell the devil becomes a little bit like our winter coat. Good for when it's chilly in the morning, but otherwise can be set aside if it gets in the way. If the devil can separate us from the Word made flesh at different points in our lives, he gets the upper hand. The devil knows what makes you a Christian. He knows that it's not your nice, cozy goosebumps for Jesus. It's the words of Jesus. It's the truth Jesus speaks. Jesus said, if you love me, you will treasure my words. If you love me, you will make your whole life about the things I say. That you're connected to my words like a branch is connected to a vine. But if you disconnect yourself from hearing my words, if you elevate a generic love over a love grounded in my words, the truth made flesh, you become like a branch broken off from the vine. As Jesus said, such a one is thrown away, gathered into the fire, and burned. Well, the devil's listening to Jesus, and he hears that word and says, okay, that's my goal then, to do the opposite, to keep people away from the words, the doctrine of Jesus, and to twist it however I can. Be on guard, dear saints. The devil is in the details. But it also all boils down today to the same battle of theology 500 years ago. Are we saved by grace through faith, by the sacrifice of Christ, instead of by our own works? Are we seeking to please our man-made false gods of money, vacations, entertainment, being liked by means of our works? Or are we receiving in faith the blood-bought redemption of Christ, that which is purchased, won, and delivered as a free gift? Justification by grace through faith. It all boils down to that. This faith that's not merely a mental assent to a list of facts. No. Faith that receives objective justification is a faith that covers your entire being of who you are and who God made you to be, who God purchased and won you to be, and who God dwells in you to be. Faith that is not a feeling, but also not a mere assent of the mind to facts. True faith that receives, that is a shield withstanding those fiery darts of the devil, is the certainty that we have sins that need forgiven, and we have a Savior who brings that forgiveness by the sacrificial death, by the victorious resurrection of the Son of God and the Son of Mary. Faith is the confidence and hope and trust that death is defeated and Satan truly stripped of his power. And now he roams thinking he has power. But for those who have the word, who have that trust in the word, he is defanged. Faith clings to the truth. The truth that since we have already died with Christ, nothing can take away God's abundant mercy toward us. no matter what happens in our lives. Faith is strengthened by the declaration that you are righteous by nothing that you have done, but purely by what He has done and by what He gives. This is a faith that can stand in the day of temptation with courage. This faith, that sure and certain assurance that salvation is from God and God alone, can indeed be strengthened and is today strengthened, delivered by God through His Word, through the singing of His Word, the proclamation of His Word, delivered in the remembrance of our baptisms, delivered through the bread, wine, that is the body and blood, delivered through the message of law that we have sins, and that sweet consolation of the gospel that we have forgiveness, that we, through Christ, have life and abundant eternal life, not earned by our works, by our worthiness, but received as a gift. And this whole truth, the whole counsel of God in the Scriptures, is too precious to let even a single iota drop away. For anything less than the purest of the Lord's word, anything less than the full truth of doctrine, is just the slightest bit less ammunition lost in the battle against the devil and his meager dominion. That is, in the Lutheran Church, we insist on pure doctrine, not because we want to win arguments or just be right or have a higher place in heaven. We insist on pure doctrine so that we can have for ourselves and be able to give to others more of the truth that God wants to give, truth that sets us free from the bondage of sin, truth that leads to good works that allow us to participate more in the kingdom of God on earth as we will in heaven. To have corrupt or weak doctrine is to have less of what God wants us to have. And we want to have as much as God is there to give. This is what the Reformation is about. That we receive the full gift of the truth. And so the church is always in need of reformation. For we desire to love Jesus and therefore follow His words, to love His words, all of them, all of these words of freedom, all of these words of the release from the punishment of sins and freedom from a life that's otherwise enslaved to the passions of lust and power. So in the midst of all of this unreality chaos that we find ourselves in our world today, in the midst of the battles of the Word, where can we go for comfort? Where can we go for a truth that never changes? A truth that brings order, truth that brings a quiet and peaceful life that is full of joy in the heart, full of joy in the Lord's great mercy and love no matter what happens around us. We go to His Word. We go to the place where we gather around His Word. We come here to church where indeed His kingdom comes, and there is no other God. The kingdom ours remaineth. In the name of Jesus, amen.